Welcome back to Forward Pressing, episode 48, Monday, November 15th, 2021. How are we doing today, Yanis?
Doing good. It's cold outside, though.
It's cold outside, man. We're starting, like, did you guys get snow yet or no?
We just got some today, like 2 centimeters, but still.
I feel like we usually get snow here before you do. If for everybody, we're both Canadian, that up north. He's on the West Coast, though. I'm on the East Coast. And I feel like East Coast usually gets snow before, right? I don't know.
I think it depends on the years, but usually that's how it goes. East gets it first, and then it goes all the way to the West.
Anyways, it's cold. International break. So international break is always hit or miss. I mean, we had some fun games to watch this weekend or just last week. I will be honest, I didn't watch all of them. I had a pretty busy week, but I followed a lot of the games. We got some nice CONCACAF news. Canada represent, doing big things. We had some news that dropped, interesting news. We have some United news. And we're going to end this pod with a question of the week and see what everybody thinks. Because I saw this conversation going around on Twitter a little bit. And I mean, I disagreed with a lot of the takes that I was seeing. So we'll see about that once we get there. But
question regarding that question of the week, are we going to do this like on a weekly basis now? Or is that just for this?
Why not? If we can think of something fun. We're moving. We're adapting. We'll see how it goes. Did you see the Aguero thing? He developed like a heart condition, and now they're saying like he may be forced to retire because of it. I mean, that's a massive news.
It's sad. It's especially sad because we kind of expected him to do big things with Barca, especially because he was like their best players. And he's had injuries in the past and it's been like lingering, and he's came back, scored a couple goals, got injured again. We've never really got a chance to see Aguero in a Barca jersey like fully fit yet, and it seems that we may not be able to. They're saying that he may not retire. It's not confirmed.
Still pretty big news, though. Like, I mean, it's so sad to see like his life after Man City, right? Like, Man said he was gonna stay at Manchester City until they win the Champions League. Then they get all the way to the final, are heavy favorites, and they lose against Chelsea. Who just got a new manager in the middle of the year. So then he ends up leaving without the trophy to Barcelona because he wants to play with Messi. Messi leaves, so he's stuck there at Barca where he doesn't want to be without Messi. And then never gets to play because he's injured. Then he plays like one or two games, gets injured again and gets his heart condition, and now his career may be over. Like, that's just, it's a little bit heartbreaking, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I just hope he recovers well. And if at the end of the day, like, if it costs, his career is pretty much made at that point. Like, regardless of what he did with Barcelona, I feel like his days at City and Atletico Madrid were big enough to give him his name.
I mean, most of his legacy is from Manchester City, even more. Like, I mean, he was good at Atletico, but it was really City that made his career.
You see, he still has like the craziest goals in Premier League history, that 2012 goal in the against QPR.
I mean, that's one of the most iconic moments in Premier League history, I will say.
Yeah, especially, I remember watching that live and just started screaming because you don't expect, I mean, it was the City's first title in like how many years? And then the fashion, the way it happened, the drama behind it, like everybody went crazy. So yeah, I mean, even the Peter, I think it was Peter Drury that was commenting that at the same time, like, Aguero! I swear, you'll never see anything like
this.
Yeah,
that's the iconic.
Yeah, I mean, that's iconic. That'll stay for life. So he's definitely, I don't know. I mean, I don't know about you, but I see him as like a top 3 striker in the Premier League history.
I was going to say at least top 5.
I think it's a mix between Henry, Shearer, and him. I've never seen Shearer, but I know I just know because of his record.
I'd put Rooney above him.
Rooney above Shearer?
I'd put Rooney above him. No, above Aguero.
Above Aguero?
Rooney's got the accolades and the titles, and also the talent.
I'm not mad at that, but Aguero also has that, and then some.
Aguero never won a Champions League.
I guess he did. He does have a Champions League, but he was young Rooney at the time. He wasn't like peak Rooney, but still, it is a Champions League. I guess I could give you that to him, but that's not Premier League related, though.
And Rooney's got the goals too, but yeah.
It could be either or. I mean, tough. But if he's in the top 5, I'm not mad at that. Regardless of where he is in the top 5.
No, I'd probably put Aguero 4.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that. It's not a bad place to be, especially in a big list like that. I just hope he recovers well.
Yeah, we will all wish him the best, always. But speaking of Rooney, speaking of United, there was news that broke this morning that apparently United are making moves to become partially owned by the fans, which would be like a huge move for the club, obviously. It's a really big deal. The Bundesliga already does this. What are your thoughts? I think this is a good move in the right direction to have the clubs partially owned by the fans.
I think it depends on how much, because I think in the Bundesliga, and one person can own more than...
It's like 50-50 or something, no?
I think in the Bundesliga, one person can own more than 50%. So I think it's like 49. There's a name to that rule. I can't remember the name. I know I saw it somewhere, but I can't remember. So if the Prem does something like that, it could be interesting, especially because obviously we know the fan are very passionate about clubs, especially United. So is this something that we're going to see in the future for everybody? Probably not, just because the money talks in the Prem more so than every other league. So it's going to, like, I don't see like Newcastle do that, for example, especially just after having new
owners. But maybe we see like other clubs kind of like take note and try to, like, maybe in the future, who knows how this goes. The talk started this morning. I saw the first report. So who knows how, like, in the coming years, how everything will play out. But I think
nothing has been official yet, too, right?
No, not at all. Exactly. It was just something that I saw this morning that I thought it was worth mentioning, because it would be pretty big news if it did happen, right? So we'll see how that goes. The last topic of news I wanted to mention before we get into some more United talk. Steven Gerrard, Aston Villa coach. Thoughts?
Interest. I don't know if it's too... I'm asking myself if it's too early or not. I mean, he did great at Rangers, but...
But that's a two-club league.
Well, I mean, it's still a league. It's still a league. There's still other teams.
For sure. And you win the league for the first time in a long time, too.
Celtic won the last 8 or 9, I think it was. And he's basically stopped them from getting 10 in a row, which I guess mission accomplished. He gets the win. They did well in the Europa League. They qualified. And they're still in Europe right now. So I saw a couple games at Rangers occasionally. Like, they have a good playing style. They're interesting to watch. Now, how does that apply to the Prem? That's going to be... Does that transition to the Prem? So that's going to be the question for him. I think it's good that he got Villa and not Liverpool. Well, I mean, not that he was ever getting the chance of getting Liverpool now, because obviously Klopp is there, but like, not... Yeah, I hope... Yeah, I think it's a steady progression, as opposed to like Lampard when he went from like Derby to Chelsea, which is kind of a pretty big leap.
Yeah. Like, Derby's not even close to being in the same league as like Rangers. And he went from Derby to Chelsea because of his name.
Kind of, but at the same time, I'm pretty sure Gerrard's name does help him getting to Villa, because...
For sure, but I think having the resume of like having a season where he did a historic fact helps a lot as well. Like, we have a little bit more of a tangible process with Gerrard, where we've seen his work and body of work and what he can do.
There's a bigger sample size for Gerrard, for sure.
Exactly.
There's a bigger sample size. I just wonder if a guy like Nuno could have done as well, honestly.
Honestly, I like taking the chance on Gerrard more than I would Nuno if I were Aston Villa. Like, I like this move a lot, honestly. I feel like this is the exact type of club that would suit the level of Gerrard right now, where I feel like there's a lot of potential to be had, because there's a lot of mystery with Gerrard, right? We don't have a huge sample size. We have a sample size where we don't know what his top level is yet. Like, for all we know, he could be another amazing manager, right? And we just need a club that has resources, that has a little bit more quality to show what he can do. So I think this is a really nice project for him, because Aston Villa don't have top five aspirations, but they're not supposed to be relegated either. And we've seen them in recent seasons be able to compete with that top five a little bit, like finishing that top end of the table a little bit.
They should be top 10. With that team that they have right now, they should be top 10.
For sure, exactly. They should be top 10. But the expectations aren't like get us in the Europa League or you're done after a season, you know? So I think having the project now and having those expectations will allow him to kind of like get his bearings a little bit in the league. And then who knows? Like, if it works out, it works out. If it doesn't, we'll see. But I think it's a really good move for them. And like, it's probably a stepping stone. If for one day, if Klopp like steps down and he's been successful in the Premier League, like, for sure, that's going to be an option for Liverpool going forward.
True. I mean, the Liverpool link is always going to be there, like, regardless.
Yeah, it can't not be there, so. But as long as they have Klopp, I'm sure they wouldn't want anybody else, so.
By the way, big game against Arsenal this weekend. I think it'll be a dub for Arsenal, but.
You think you guys are winning?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we'll see. Are you guys home or away?
I don't know. I think we're home.
You guys are away. You are not beating Liverpool away from home.
Okay, maybe.
You'll revise your.
Oh yeah, I'll revisit that later on.
Yeah, that's tough. But let's get into some United news because we have a lot to talk about with United all the time. This is like the most talked about club in the world, for better or for worse. We won't go too crazy.
For worse.
Yeah, lately it's been for worse, but we have some conversations to be had. Varane out another 3 weeks. Big rip. I mean, was this because he got brought back too soon? I don't know. Like, Ole played Harry Maguire through an injury. We could obviously see it on the pitch. Maguire has been terrible. He's been probably one of our worst defenders. That's to put it lightly, to be honest. And I don't know if that's due to him still playing with like a nagging injury or whatnot, but now our best defender, like what you can notice, the one game that Varane came back, like you notice our defense was a lot more capable. So not having him for another 3 weeks would be a big thing.
Well, it's also the game that he played three in the back too, no?
Exactly, but we played three in the back the next game without Varane for a little bit and we got smoked. So that's going to be a big challenge for Ole to deal with that. Because Bailly, honestly, you need to get Bailly some playing time so he can get in a rhythm. Because when Bailly's on his day, like, he's one of the best defenders. The thing with Bailly is that, like, he's very, very aggressive. And that leads...
Can be reckless at times.
Exactly. He can be very reckless. He gives bad penalties, bad fouls, sorry. And he can get injured a lot because of his recklessness, which has been his biggest downfall as a player. But he's also... he can make plays in the defense. Like, we've seen it already. Like, against... I forget if it was the City game or the Atalanta game, but Bailly had, like...
His best game was against Atalanta.
It was the Atalanta game. Like, Bailly had, like, an incredible performance. But I remember he did, a sliding tackle save.
That must have been Atalanta, because the City game...
No, I think it was against the City as well. I mean, he did the own goal, right? But I think he also had another save. But... Alas, like I think Bailly, if you get him some playing time, he can give you really good performances. It's just it's been rare when you have like Lindelof and Maguire ahead of you and you're injured.
How about giving Van de Beek some playing time? How about that?
That's not gonna happen. I was gonna say, like, Van de Beek, like, every news we see is just him being unhappy and like Ole stopping him from being moved away, but also not playing him. So Ole's basically holding him hostage for some reason. But I think in January he's gonna leave.
Okay, let me rectify that. He got playing time, but it was like 10 minutes, so it's not much. But
he's played 150 minutes out of the possible 1,200, I think. I saw a stat recently. And those 150 minutes aren't even like starts. It's like an accumulation of like getting the last 10 minutes of a game, getting the last 5 minutes out of a game here and there.
So he's definitely going on loan. Who else?
Is he going on loan or is he just getting a transfer?
Oh, I think it's a loan.
You think it's a loan?
It should. I mean, if it's United, it should be a loan. If you're United, like, what would you want to sell him?
I can see like United getting a new manager and that new manager making Van de Beek one of our most important players. Like, truly, like, embracing the potential he has and the quality he has. He's one of those players, honestly.
I think Van de Beek has to be a loan. Henderson has to be a loan. But Lingard has to be a transfer.
Lingard will be a transfer because, I don't know, he's not getting much playing time, but he's coming in before Van de Beek. So that says something too.
Yeah, I'm just hoping West Ham comes back again. That'd be nice.
That'd be sick. West Ham are third right now. They're ahead of Liverpool.
David Moyes is already manager of the year to me, like, regardless of what happened.
He's got to be. If he can manage West Ham to finish top, you got to be.
I wonder where he would be like all time. Just I know it's a question. Yeah, I don't know if it's a question for the future.
He's not even top 10. He's not even top. You can't. After the United thing, you can't.
Yeah, but I mean, United, that's.
You can't. That's a big deal.
Yeah, it's not. He's not, I wouldn't say, I wouldn't put him top 10, but like, you know, top 20.
And like, what was he doing before West Ham had a good season last season? Like, not much. So
he struggled with Sunderland, struggled with Sociedad.
Like, you exactly. He was like average with Everton, and then really, really bad with United, and then now he's good with West Ham.
He's great with West Ham.
He's great with West Ham. So we'll see how that can continue. But I think Henderson, it really sucks because like he was supposed to be our guy this season, and then what was it? He gets COVID, I think, or he got a little bit injured, and then De Gea like had to, De Gea had to come up, and then De Gea has been world class. So that's kind of like,
well, not against City.
I mean, De Gea, you can't do. Yeah, I mean, there was the one goal, but De Gea has been our MVP this season once again.
I mean, I saw the highlights of the game. Like, De Gea made a lot of like massive saves in the first half, but then that second half, like, it wasn't great.
When you're getting so many chances against you, like, it's hard to make the saves all the time because like they're just shots coming from everywhere.
Still, I mean, Henderson lost his place as like in England.
I mean, he's not playing, so you can't blame it.
Somewhere in the Prem or somewhere like a top side everywhere else. Like, I could see like a.
He should get a move to the Premier League, like somewhere else in the Premier League that could use him.
He is.
He needs one of the top European leagues at least.
Ali.
Because he's really good and he's probably the future of our club. But we'll see. For right now, De Gea is the man. Speaking of the man, though, I mean Ole is sending everybody on. Ole is getting a 1 week. He gave United the 1 week break. All the players, instead of like training for the Watford game. So we'll see how that pans out. But once again, we're seeing reports that United are good to stay with Ole as long as possible. Keyword, as long as possible. Keywords. I mean, we saw Brendan Rodgers leaks. Not leaks, but like rumors being like, if not Ole, Brendan Rodgers is the guy. How do you feel about that? Because I don't feel too great about it. I mean, I think it would be an upgrade, but I don't think that's the type of manager that we need to get us to the top.
I think it's definitely an upgrade to what you guys have. Just, and we know, I mean, we talked about sample size earlier. Like, we have a big sample size with Rodgers, so we know what he can bring to United. I just feel like the issue with Rodgers is that the issue with Rodgers and United is that Rodgers is a great coach when it comes to like building your team, like as a project, right? Meaning it takes a couple years to like develop and get the final product and get an actual like accomplishment, so like rewards to the labor, really. I mean, we're seeing that with Leicester right now. They got the FA Cup last year after maybe 2-3 years of trying. So I mean, and even with Liverpool, like he didn't challenge for the trophy until I think it was the second year, I believe.
I mean, he would have had it.
He would have had it if it wasn't for Stevie G. Well, the slip, not Stevie G, but the slip. So the issue with Rodgers now with United is that United doesn't have, well, I mean, it's not United, it's really Ronaldo, because Ronaldo, when you have Ronaldo, you're trying to win now, right? Because that's, you have to win now. Yeah,
you have to, because Ronaldo's not, you don't have the time to wait for Ronaldo.
Yeah, you have 2 years, so they're trying to win something in the next 2 years. And Rodgers, with Rodgers, you may be able to, but it's not like the odds aren't really on your flavor, because we know how.
On my flavor.
Not favor, sorry, I said favor. it's not in your favor, just because we know that it takes time for Rodgers to actually get like a competitive roster or competitive squad, just to be able to be in the top four and even just to compete for trophies. So does United have like 4 years to waste? No, which to me seems
United's in a win now mode. We have a 1-2 year window where we are at optimal capacity to win something. We have a lot of future prospects as well, like a lot of young pieces in our squad that would make us successful in the future. But we also have a squad that's ready to win now.
I feel like if Ronaldo wasn't there, Rodgers would be a great fit, just because, like I said, development project and.
We do. We have the young pieces.
Yeah, you have the pieces. But
Ronaldo, we have pieces to win the league this year. We have pieces to win the Champions League this year. It's not going to happen. We're not even going to get close, but we have the pieces. Like, we have a squad able to do that.
You don't have to win. You don't have the pieces to win the Champions League this year. You also don't have the pieces to win.
We have the pieces. We have players that are very, very top quality that can do it. Like, we have.
You keep complaining about your midfield every week.
Yeah, we do. But a better manager would be able to build around it. Like, I don't know. You're not. We have Pogba. We have other players. We have Van de Beek. But we're playing Fred and McTominay in the middle and then complaining, you know? We do need another midfielder, a holding midfielder especially.
Yeah. I understand that bringing Zidane could bring a new flame to United, like a new life.
He's that all-star world-class manager that
I understand that just because everybody respects him and puts him like as a basically a god if we can, when it comes to football. But at the same time, it's like the team is the same. The players aren't, the personnel is the same. So
I know, but the tactics would be completely different. The way the players are used would be completely different. The aura around the team would be completely different. We would have a manager that knows what he wants to do, whether it works out or not, it is one thing or the other, but we have a manager that would have a system that would be able to bring that aura to a United team that needs that type of leadership, not where a team that we have a manager that is always naively positive and kind of seems like he gives the impression that he's kind of lost and doesn't know how to fix a problem.
I think I would say when it comes to Ole, like he brought United to a certain level, kind of like Rodgers in the sense
It was the good vibes. It was the good vibes and it masqueraded everything.
Yeah, he brought United to a certain level, but they're like stagnating right now. And there's this the next coach has to bring them up. And I don't think Rodgers will be that. And to be honest, Zidane might be the best option, but I think there's a name that hasn't been mentioned. Well, that's been mentioned a few times that probably should be the better option than Zidane if we're taking long-term.
Is it Ten Hag?
Yes. In my opinion, Ten Hag would be a better option than Zidane for the future. It's
long-term, probably, but he's also has that unknown where you kind of don't really, like you're basing it on a lot of unwritten potential a little bit.
Yes, but he's also, but he has a track record though. Like, remember this, Ajax has been competitive in the Champions League for years since he's been there.
It's true. They also have world-class talent that were waiting in the wings, you know?
Yeah. It seemed like Ajax doesn't usually make it to the semis like they did. They don't make it to the quarters. They have great football, but
they don't even make it to the quarters. They get eliminated in groups, those level teams.
They get eliminated in groups, or if anything, they get bounced in a round of 16. But he's been able to, for years, make it out of the group, not only make it out of the group, but, like, compete for finals. He almost got the Europa League against Man U like a couple years ago too. So he's not, I think he's, you could see he has a philosophy. He has tactics. He has a way of playing. Obviously, I think it's total football. So it kind of works for him as well.
I'd like him over Brendan Rodgers because I think his potential is probably way higher than Brendan Rodgers. Like, we've seen Brendan Rodgers enough to know what the potential is. Like, he's a great guy to get the team of course, but he doesn't have that higher gear that it will consistently keep you at the top of challenging for those biggest titles. Where I think Ten Hag, we might not know if he's capable of doing that, but he has definitely given given us the possibility of seeing that the type of manager that he is with better resources could do a lot more. That's the impression I get from him. And with those kind of managers there and those kind of players that we also see, like, when they're in better situations, they can really blow up because they have better players around them and better availability, right? So that's the thing with him. I'd say that the ceiling is way higher and it's way more unknown, which is more exciting because it can be so high.
Yeah, I mean, I guess overall, I would kind of summarize it this way. I think Rodgers, it's compete, 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 and maybe win. With Ten Hag, it's develop, eventually potentially win. The potential is there. And then with Zidane, it's win now and win and get trophies.
Yeah, and Zidane, it's win later as well.
You got win later, yeah.
With Zidane, you know that you're getting a squad that's always going to compete no matter what.
You don't know if you're getting a squad that's going to compete, but you know you're getting different views, different philosophy, and you're getting a winning win mentality
for sure. Like, you don't win 3 out of 4 Champions Leagues on a whim. You know, like, that's not, no matter how good your squad is, nobody's doing that. You can't. It's like, it's almost unfeasible. And he had a great squad, but Madrid have had better squads in the past, and they haven't been able to do that. You know, so. And the quality of the competition now and the era that he did it was extremely high as well. I just, yeah, I think what happened is, like, if you take Zidane and you take any other manager, like, Zidane's accolades are just so much higher and the reputation is there, right? So he is what we want all these other managers to become. So you can already get the finished product, or you can get something that could become the same thing, right? But yeah, like, we're seeing reports saying that Ronaldo and Varane are kind of making their proposals to Zidane to kind of entice him, because we've seen multiple times that, like, he's in no rush to get a job right now. He's very happy just, like, chilling and waiting for something to open up that entices him. Like,
I feel like we keep saying that, like, every week. Like, Zidane is not going to show up. Zidane's not going to show up. Zidane may show up. He may not show up.
Well, no, because he's always been the name that everybody wants, right? But he's not bothered. Like, he's just doing his own thing. People can say whatever they want, but he doesn't want a job right now. It would take something, like, really enticing to him to appeal to him, to get him out of, right now, I think he's just enjoying time off with his family. Like, he's just chilling.
I don't think he's waiting for a job. I think he's waiting for the French job after the World Cup.
I know. You keep saying that. We'll see. If Ronaldo and Varane can make it happen, that would be amazing. I don't think it's going to happen, but...
I don't think it's going to happen. If I'm United, honestly, like, I would bank on getting Ten Hag next season.
If we keep Ole until the end of the season, then we're either getting Ten Hag or, like, Pochettino. I think Pochettino becomes on the table at the end of the season.
That's another name. We'll see. I doubt about that one, but I mean, Ten Hag seems like the easiest. You can easily take him out of Ajax if you wanted to. So I would probably bank on him if I was United. But you know how United in decision making is, so we don't.
Yeah, we don't have a plan, and it's like we always make decisions on impulse at some point. And this is, like, the only time we haven't made an impulse decision by sacking Ole, and it's probably would we have the difference now between in the past and before when we made those impulse decisions to sack the manager. We didn't have a squad ready to win now. We were struggling to build a foundation. Now we have the foundation and we have a squad able to compete, and we're not sacking the manager to get somebody that could win us something right now, where we're in that window to do so. So yeah, it's just a troubling time at United. But let's talk some international football. World Cup qualifiers. We've had a bunch of teams qualify already. We have a bunch of teams almost qualifying. France in.
You want to go CONCACAF or Euros?
Let's start with the Euro. France in, Spain in. Portugal got to play through playoffs now after that loss to Serbia, which is really quite surprising.
You know what's crazy too about that loss to Serbia? Not just the fact that it was, like, the last minute, but apparently, remember that the first game that they played to get the goal? Yeah, like that would have qualified.
Yeah, the goal that got disallowed, Ronaldo's goal. Yeah,
that's crazy. So I feel kind of bad for Portugal, because I mean the refereeing kind of screwed them up.
Can you imagine they don't qualify now?
I mean, that would be, like, the long-term consequences of a horrible decision-making from the ref. And that would be, I mean, that would be Ronaldo not seeing Ronaldo at the World Cup is, like, that could be.
It makes no sense. It's like not seeing Ronaldo in the Champions League, which may happen when he's at United.
Well, yeah, that's on him for taking United instead of City. But, yeah, that's crazy to think about. That's really, actually, there's a possibility that it might happen. I don't know who they play in the playoffs, but.
I don't know either.
I guess that remains to be seen. But still, that's a big loss for Portugal. Especially because they have the team, bro. They have the team.
I mean, Ronaldo played 90 minutes. Bruno played 25 minutes. Diego Dalot didn't play anything. He didn't play a game. A minute. So, yeah. CONCACAF. I mean, Canada. Canada looks like probably one of the most dangerous teams in the CONCACAF right now. Like, Mexico's out of form. The U.S. are kind of, like, hit or miss. They've been more hit lately, but we've seen them be miss. Canada's kind of that one team that, like, hasn't always had the best results, but has always kind of, like, played their game.
I don't think we've lost a game so far.
No, we haven't. We're the only team that hasn't lost a game, but we've had some draws that we should have won. And some of our games have been really close, but we're kind of the Ravens of the CONCACAF right now, like the Baltimore Ravens. Like, they're kind of always down or kind of just, like, not playing great, but then they always find a way. They always find a way to get that win at the end. And that's kind of the vibe I'm getting with this Canada team right now. We're just finding a way right now to make things happen.
It's an interesting analogy. I don't know if I'm going to concur with that or stuff as a Bills fan, but I definitely feel like Canada is on a roll right now, and it's really, we can beat anybody. The way we are right now, we can beat everybody, because there's no injuries. Everybody seems to be in form. We seem to be finding good ways to get goals regardless of the situations. And I think the weather kind of plays a part as well. I mean, the Edmonton game was kind of freezing, and Costa Rica looked out of place.
Yeah, out of their element a little bit.
Yeah, and also not getting Keylor Navas kind of play the part as well. But that remains to be, that's a topic for another time. I'm really confident about our chances of going to the World Cup. I think we're going to make it at this point. I think the big game against Mexico tomorrow, if we can get that win, then it pretty much kind of secures it in a sense.
Mexico are out of form right now. It's a really good opportunity for us.
They are beatable. Right now, they're the most beatable team.
Because they're probably the most talented team in the CONCACAF. More talented than the U.S., more talented than Canada.
I would disagree. I'd say the U.S. is. Just because the U.S. has the depth of the U.S. is kind of serious. I'm not going to say it's...
The U.S. has more depth, but I feel like Mexico are just always that team.
Mexico's been playing the same players every game, and it's been average performances.
I know. But that's what I'm saying. That's what we're seeing now, the consequences of them being a little bit more sluggish and tired and beaten up a little bit.
I don't know. I'd say the U.S. is probably the top. They're still the top team just because of the depth of the squad. That even Canada doesn't really have the depth in terms of squad. We have a serious 11, but after that, the bench is like kind of iffy. We still got to figure that part out. We got a new player from Genk. Ike Ugbo used to play for Chelsea in the academy. So that's a good upgrade to the squad. So we have players, which is not we don't have the depth that like in the U.S. have so far, but we're getting there. So far it is encouraging, and I think I'm expecting a big win tomorrow as well.
If we can get Canada to the World Cup, that's huge for us. That's huge. I'm gonna be really excited.
That's a massive step. Yeah, that's a massive step. We gotta give credit to Sean Herdman as well, the coach.
It is. It's very encouraging for the whole Canadian football process and everything. So that's going to be seen. Big game against Mexico. Panama's right on our tail as well in the leagues. And I know we played Panama as the last game in the qualifier. So it's going to be interesting to see if it all comes down to that game at the end of the day. We'll see. Because I think the top three are kind of set. It's U.S., Mexico, Canada a little bit. And I think Panama is like that fourth team that could make something happen. But we'll see. Last thing that I want to talk about, the random question of the week. I feel like we've done this in the past, maybe a long time ago, but we kind of strayed away from it a little bit.
Yeah, we cut the streaks early.
Yeah, we did. But now might as well. I saw this happening on Twitter a little bit. People were ranking their like top three or top five managers of like the Premier League. I saw some like horrendous lists, so it kind of inspired me to at least get my take out there. We can do Premier League, we can do all time. We don't have to make like concrete lists, but just have a little conversation about it for like a quick 5 minutes or something like that. Like if we're talking Premier League, I don't know how you don't have Sir Alex Ferguson as the top manager of all time in the Premier League.
Well, if you're a Liverpool fan, you probably don't.
I saw somebody say Mourinho is better all time. I saw people have Pep as the best manager in the Premier League of all time. And had, I think it was Mourinho, Klopp, Sir Alex, and then like Tuchel or something like that. And I saw this list and I almost threw up. I don't know how you can have Pep first when he's never won a Champions League in the Premier League, first of all.
Well, if we're talking Premier League of all time, Premier League manager, we're not taking Champions League into account, are we?
I mean, I think you have to. I think it shows the overall strength and success of the club.
But, sure. I mean, if we're talking Premier League, I would expect that the Premier League trophy would be the main, like...
No, for sure, it's the main. But, like, you're not thinking... Are you saying Klopp is a better... Like, I'm not saying Klopp is a better Premier League manager of all time than Pep just because he has a Champions League and Pep doesn't, you know? Pep has the years. Pep has the longevity of the success. But for me, it's like Sir Alex won and Wenger too. I saw Wenger might have been on the list as well above Sir Alex.
I'm gonna give you my list of the ones specifically for the Premier League. I have Sir Alex 1, Wenger 2, Mourinho 3, just because of his longevity. Guardiola 4, and I think 5 has to be Klopp. There may be better options, but I'm not sure. I don't think so. And then you could go like Pochettino, Moyes in the later rounds, but I think so far that would be my list of like the all time.
I think Klopp would be fifth. I honestly think I have the same list as you. I can't think of anybody else that we haven't named that deserves to be on that list from the Premier League.
No, because everybody gets sacked eventually.
Yeah, and especially recently, right? We see the terms of managers that they have in the Premier League are very short. Like it's coming down to like 2 years, you know. And I don't think we have managers in the Premier League that have won the Premier League more than once, besides like a couple names. I think at the time Mourinho was the guy in the Premier League that had won the most Premier Leagues.
I think so. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think you may be right. But if you're thinking like outside of the Prem overall, I think you'd have to of what?
All time. Names we haven't mentioned, like
Carlo Ancelotti, Jupp Heynckes.
I still think Sir Alex is probably the greatest of all time. In terms of longevity of success, and like he's won squad like leagues and Champions League with squads that we would laugh at right now if we looked at them on paper.
True. I mean, he's also the longest tenure, I think. 16 years, I think.
Yeah, and he's won a lot. He's won the most.
He's won a lot. He would probably still be one. And then it would probably be a race for two between Ancelotti, Wenger, and Jupp Heynckes, I guess. So that it's still complicated because I don't know if Conte gets into the list as well, just because of what he did with in Serie A.
Zidane.
Yeah, Zidane, obviously. Zidane has to be in there.
Crazy because his years are limited in terms of comparing them to the other people on this list, but his success is probably higher.
He has like he's way younger. He has like way less amount of experience, but he has way more trophies.
Yeah, which is insane, right?
I'm trying to think of other names. Let's see. Maybe Ranieri?
No.
No? You gonna put in there? I'm trying to see in France. Is there someone in France? In France, I don't see anybody.
Let's see. I'm just gonna give us some names. Mourinho. I still think it's Ferguson first, and then second, I probably put it might be Wenger. Maybe.
I will put Wenger second, Ancelotti third.
Yeah, and then you got Pep, you got Mourinho. I mean Zidane. Like these are all. I'm not putting them in order. I'm just like Zidane, like Conte, Hanks, Klopp. I mean Klopp. I don't think he maybe soon. I mean you got Allegri, like the best managers, right?
I think Nagelsmann will be there.
You think?
Eventually, yeah, but not now.
And where do you class, like, we'll end it on this. This was not planned, but like, who would you say is the greatest international manager of all time? Is it like Joachim Löw? Is it Löw? Is it Didier Deschamps? Is it who are the other top ones?
Might be international of all time. Del Bosque, Vincente Del Bosque for Spain. There's also the one from Brazil as well.
Del Bosque is from Brazil.
No, he's from Spain. Scolari is
from Brazil. Scolari. Yeah, you're right. My bad.
It's Luis Felipe Scolari.
Yeah, Luis Felipe Scolari. Yeah, I think it's probably between Scolari and Löw for me, all time international.
I'll put Del Bosque first.
Del Bosque?
Bro, look at what he did with Spain.
I know, the German team has always been good.
Yeah, but that was German team did it in like what 2014, and then that was it. Like Del Bosque did.
He's been there since 2006, Joachim Löw.
Yeah, but Del Bosque did 2008. He won at 10 year the World Cup of 2010, then the Euros. That's like 4 years of domination.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely
Löw's in the conversation. Löw's in the conversation for sure.
Definitely conversation, but it's exciting. And we're going to have managers that are going to come in and do just as good or even better.
Future is bright for cultures. For coaches.
Future is bright. Who would you take, Ten Hag or Nagelsmann?
Ten Hag.
Ooh, that's interesting. That's not what I was expecting, to be honest.
I think Nagelsmann has still a lot of years at Leipzig. So at Bayern, sorry. He's done some great things, yeah, but.
And he's in a good situation to be able to add to his resume. So
I'm curious to see where Nagelsmann is going to go after Bayern. But if I was to bet on someone, I'd probably bet on Ten Hag.
Yeah, especially if he gets a United job. It's exciting to think about what he could do with actual resources. But alas, conversation for another day. I think we covered enough for today.
Oh my God, I forgot to talk about Xavi and his new role at Barcelona. We'll talk about that next week. There's some interesting things about that as well.
Yeah, we'll talk about that next week. But that's going to wrap it up for this episode. In the books, going to make sure to follow us on our social medias, on Twitter, Forward Press Pod, on Instagram, Forward Underscore Pressing. Make sure you drop us a follow so you're notified every time the episodes go live, every Wednesday. And we hope to see you next week. If you're here this long, we really appreciate it. Thanks for rocking with us. And
that's it. Have a good week.
Have a good week. Peace.
Peace.